Session number 29022.
Real to Robert Brown. We were just talking about your mess deck and where you lived when you were on board and sort of your leisure time. Can you tell me anything about your sort of day-to-day normal routine on board the ship? What would sort of a day hold for you?
Well, one of the things that I recall was that the sailors were all wearing their number two uniforms.
Could you just explain what well, a number
it's
two
a,
uniform
it's a
was?
Regular, what can I say, sailor suit, I guess. And but with the torpedo branch, we didn't have to wear that. We wore coveralls, and that was handy. So it wasn't quite so formal, I guess. I found there was a real camaraderie between the men in the mess. I enjoyed being with the fellas. I found that it was a little different. Little different to get used to the English culture. It was quite different from what I was accustomed to. The discipline was, there was more discipline. It was what we call pusser, I guess. But you knew exactly where you stood. There was a difference between the British and the Canadian Navy. The Canadian Navy would relax their discipline, and the dress would get pretty sloppy, and then all of a sudden they decide you had to be properly dressed. And so all of a sudden you were getting in trouble if you weren't properly dressed. I liked the discipline in the British Navy because you knew exactly where you stood all the time. So that was different. I really appreciated it. And we had Admiral Burnett on board, and there was no great nonsense. When he came on deck, everybody just stood to attention, and that was it. You just stop work, stand to attention, he went by, that was fine. You didn't have to salute. He just did to attention.
Did you have many dealings with him, or did you keep quiet?
No. But we appreciated him and the captain because that we had the confidence that they knew what they were doing and they were doing their job well. I remember the feeling, that feeling. I'm just stuck for a moment.
That's fine. Yeah. How did sort of the routines work in the mess deck, spending a lot of time together? You know, how did it work for sort of food and cleaning the mess deck?
Oh, the morning routine, you scrubbed out the mess deck, washed the deck and cleaned up the mess, and everything was tidy. You had a cook of the mess appointed, and he went, and it was his responsibility to go and get the food and bring it in and dish it up so everybody got a fair share, and afterwards see that everything was cleaned up and put away.
Can you remember much about the sort of food that you got to eat on board, or?
Well, the food was different from Canadian rations, and I'm afraid I hadn't really appreciated the difference. When I was at home in Canada, we had some rationing, but it wasn't that bad, and I never suffered for it. I don't remember anybody ever suffering for it. you didn't get as much butter and sugar and stuff, but I didn't appreciate the concern. And when I came on leave in England, I had an aunt and uncle living up in just outside of Birkenhead, and I had the opportunity to meet them and go and stay with them for about a week. And I remember coming down in the morning and having eggs and bacon and toast and so on, and I tucked right in. And I didn't realize, and I felt very badly, but I ate their rations for a week, all in one meal. And I didn't know that. And I felt very badly afterwards, but it was their desire to do it. And I really appreciated that. And I found my time in Britain that I was treated very, very well. On leave, wherever I went, I had a wonderful time. As far as that goes, I came off the ship with an English lad on leave, and we went to Birkenhead. And after he'd spent time with his family, we were 2 weeks leave, I think. He spent some time with his family. I spent some time with my aunt and uncle. Then I met him. And he had a couple of bicycles, and we cycled south from Liverpool to visit his sister, who was a teacher I forget the name of the city. It was a walled city south of Liverpool, just inside Wales. And we cycled down there, and I have some good memories of that, cycling through the country lanes between hedgerows. And after we'd done that, I think for a couple of hours, we came out in the clearing, and in the middle of the clearing, there was a pub. And he took me in there. He said, you need to have something to eat. We'll have a plowman's lunch and a couple of ciders. That was the first time I tasted cider. And I remember that was a very good meal. A plowman's lunch is quite a bit. And so that went very well. And back on this holiday, I'm drinking cider again and enjoying it.
Back onto the ship. Obviously, your shore leave you used to spend with your relatives in this country. How did you manage to keep in touch with your relatives back at home? Because how long were you away for in total?
Well, I was I left home in September of 43, and I got home at the end of July 44. And I had a month's leave, and that's when I was drafted off the Belfast. We had stayed on the coastal bombardment until our guns couldn't help the troops ashore any longer. So it was about the middle of July that we left the coast and came back to Britain, and I was drafted off the ship. The ship was going in for refit, and I was drafted off the ship, and I was drafted to HMCS Niobe, which was the Canadian base at Greenock. And I had immediate change from British rations to Canadian rations. Now, all the time I was on the Belfast, we had, as I recall, a good breakfast. Dinner, noon was the main meal of the day. And there was always, it seemed to me there was always meat, vegetables, potatoes, and soup. And so I've always maintained my love for soup came from that period, because I didn't think that I would survive if I couldn't have the soup, and I stuffed it full of bread, and that way I felt I got enough to eat. Because I found that the tea and dinner or supper, they were very skimpy.
What sort of things did they give you then for supper?
Well, I remember I don't remember supper so well, but I remember tea. They went up to the naffy and they poured syrup in the middle of a plate until it filled the center. And they gave us pickles and a bit of cheese, and that was the ration for 12 men. And that's the way I recall it. So when I went on Canadian rations, I don't recall whether I started to break out in boils before I left the Belfast, but I had it right after. And I had boils on my arms and face and neck. And that was the only time that I felt I was unfairly treated by the Navy. I was in sick bay, and I was putting these hot fomentations, they called them, on these boils and trying to draw them out. And I heard my group pipe to muster. And I said to myself, well, this is crazy. I'm under medical treatment. I'm not going to leave the sick bay. And I stayed where I was and finished the treatment. Of course, I was absent from my place of duty, and I was charged. I went before the commanding officer, or the executive officer, and I heard this statement twice on two different occasions. Don't you know there's a war on? What a stupid statement. And so he said, when you're piped, you better be there. No excuses. 14 days confined to barracks. And so I was confined to barracks for 14 days. But just before that happened, there was an admiral came to the base to inspect the troops. And we were all lined up, and I had these patches glued on my face and neck, and he came down the line, and he said, what's the matter with you, sailor? And I said, boils, sir. And he said, bad food, eh? And I just got onto Canadian rations, and I said, no, sir, the food is wonderful. And the captain turned to the executive officer and he said, you better see that man get some leave. Well, it was just 2 days later I was charged for being absent, so I never did get the leave. But my divisional officer was a good sort, and he made arrangements that on Saturday, I went to him and told him I had friends in Glasgow and I didn't know if I'd ever see them again. And he arranged with the officer of the day on Saturday that I was allowed, breaking regulations, but I was allowed to go ashore from noon. I had to be back by 8 o'clock to muster. They let me get out, and I did get to see my friends. We were sent back to Canada on the Queen Mary. We could see it in the Firth. And so we got aboard the Queen Mary, and they mustered the group, and they had, I was a number of people that were picked to be military police. We were, I think the Navy term was shore patrol, but they detailed us off, and I'm still under punishment.
But so Sorry, so now this was after Belfast. This was when you'd gone back to the.
This was on my way home,
right,
to Canada, and they assigned me as a guard on the women's quarters. What a deal when you're under punishment. We had a lot of laughs over that. But that was pretty much my service with the British Navy.
See, when you were sort of, you know, on the mess decks and you were all those miles away from home, did you receive letters? Did you write letters back to home? Or?
Yeah. After the battle, I wrote a letter about the battle. And
was that the Battle of North Cape?
Yes. And, of course, there was. I wrote all about the battle. Told the whole story, and the officer that censored my letter, he didn't censor it. He brought it back, the whole letter, he brought it back to me, and he said, here, he said, you can't send this. This is secret information. You can't give that out until it's released to the news. And so he gave me the letter back, and I kept the letter for about 2 weeks, and then it was on the BBC about it, and at that point I was able to just mail the letter the way it was.
Who was the letter for? Was it for family?
Actually, I wrote my girlfriend, and no, that's wrong, I wrote my dad. And my dad got the letter, and he gave it to the newspaper, and the newspaper published it. And just a hometown boy makes good, or something like that. But anyway, yeah.
How important was it to all the sailors receiving the mail from home, and when you got mail when you were on board the ship?
It was very important. It was very important. But what happened to a lot of... I don't know about British sailors or British servicemen. I don't know if that happened to them. But it did happen to Canadian servicemen. And it was called a Dear John letter. Dear John, I'm... just have to tell you that I've not met someone else or that sort of thing. And so the servicemen would get these letters, and it was a heartbreaker from home, and it destroyed their sense of being, I guess. There were a lot of men killed because they get a letter like that and they didn't care. And I wonder if some of these feats of bravery that were done by men that couldn't care.
Were you the only Canadian on board the ship at the time, or did you have other sailors that had come with you from Canada to serve with you?
There were a number of us. There were 1,500 of us sent over to be spread throughout the home fleet for training. This is how we got our experience on big ships. And then we went back and we had a seasoned crew to put on the Uganda when we commissioned it into the Canadian Navy. But when I joined up, I met a fella from the other part of the city of Winnipeg that I had never known. But it ended up we joined up at the same time, and we went to the coast and took our basic training together. Why he took torpedo training, I don't know. But as I said, I had a reason, because I wanted the torpedo training for submarine service, and so I could get diver training, which never came about. But because we came from the same city, we came from Canada, we became very good friends. He was in the same mess deck with me on the Belfast. And when we went home on leave, it turned out we met sisters, And he and the younger girl hit it off. And when we commissioned the Uganda and we went out to the war in the Pacific and joined the British Pacific Fleet, we served together on the same mess deck. And when we came home after the war, came home together, he started taking the younger sister out, and her mother said that she was young, and so the older sister had to go out and chaperone the two of them. And when I heard that, I told him, well, don't worry about it, I'll take the older girl out. I'll go along with you and keep her out of your hair so you can have time with the younger girl. And it turned out that the older girl and I had been in the same room in school in grades 7, 8, and 9. And we had nothing to do with each other. We cannot remember ever speaking. She was a very smart girl, always top of the class. I was not. I felt there were too many things in life to do that I didn't want to waste time in school, so I was not near the top of the class. And lo and behold, we married before the younger couple, and we still have a very close relationship. They live about 30 miles from where I live, and they're still together, and we're still together, you know. And so it's a long association that started when we really, when we were in the Belfast, actually.
You were just talking about your basic training then. How long was basic training in the Canadian Navy? What was the sort of time space between your training and then arriving on your first ship?
About 3 months. And we did a lot of drill. And after that, as soon as you finished your basic training, you could go to sea as an ordinary seaman. Or you could stay and take a trade. And we decided to take a trade, and we went to Halifax to get the torpedo training. And I was in the mess one day, and I saw a fellow in line at the cafeteria messing, and he was in a mishmash of clothing. He was not in proper uniform, but he was, some of it was civilian, some of it was Navy. And I went over to speak to him, and I asked him where he'd been, what he was doing. He was back in, and he had gone to sea as an ordinary seaman on a frigate, and he'd been torpedoed. And he had survived, and the ship had been torpedoed in the St. Lawrence River in Canada. And that was hush-hush, because in Canada, they didn't want anybody, they didn't want the people in Canada knowing that German submarines were in the St. Lawrence. And but he was a survivor, and he was back in. He'd been at sea, I think, 6 weeks and been torpedoed that quick. And when you stop and think of it, I joined up in February, and within 10 months, I'd been in a major battle. I mean, those things happen quick.
How long was the journey over from Canada to join up with the Belfast then? How long was that journey? And
I think it was about 7 days across. And we came over in a troop ship, and I landed in Liverpool, and were sent from Liverpool. We went to some sort of barracks, and we were only there a short time, and we were sent to Scapa Flow and went to various ships.
What was the journey like over? What sort of, how was the feeling on board coming to England?
I don't recall much of that. It was easy going. I remember that I had had a day off in Nova Scotia, and I'd gone with a friend from Winnipeg, and we'd been hiking across the country. He was a lieutenant, and I was an ordinary seaman, and you weren't supposed to mix, but we both came from Winnipeg, and our girlfriends were friends, and so I went with them. We hiked away from the base. We walked through what was an abandoned orchard, and I remember getting about a dozen apples off the tree, and I remember having fresh fruit all the way across coming to England. Yeah.